Chapter 16. With dawn still hours away, we decided to get as much sleep as we could before heading for the swamp. Edric was already snoring softly on a cushioned chair when Grisina bent down to say goodnight.
Sleep well, Emma. It may take longer than you expect to find the bracelet. I want you to have your wits about you so you'll come back in one piece. I don't know what I'm going to tell your parents about this.
Don't tell them anything, I said. I'll talk to them myself when we get back.
I had no idea what I would tell them, but I knew that I had a lot to say. I was pleased when I realized that the thought of confronting my parents didn't make me nervous the way it would have before.
Good, Grisina said, sounding satisfied. I knew that sooner or later you would handle these things yourself. But I must tell you that your mother misses you more than you might think. When she first realized you were gone, she had everyone in the castle out looking for you. She isn't a bad person, you know. In fact, when we were younger, she was rumored to be the nicer sister.
That must have been hard on you, Grisina chuckled.
But it was true. I was the one with the magic, you see, and I was always getting into trouble. We knew from our earliest childhood who had the gift and who didn't. It wasn't fair to your mother, of course. She was left out of so many things. But in the end, it wasn't fair to me either, for your grandmother favored me and rejected my only suitor for not being good enough, whereas Chartreuse was free to marry whomever she chose.
You mean to say that she chose, Father? I thought it was an arranged marriage.
If it was arranged, she did it herself.
Did my mother resent you? I asked.
Of course she did. I was the favorite child, after all. I think that's why she's been so hard on you. We're so much alike, you and I.
We took short naps and woke just before dawn. Grisina lined a wicker basket with soft cloths, placed a small fruit tart on the bottom, then set it on the floor.
I know fruit tart isn't normally part of a frog's diet, but I thought you might be hungry, and I'm out of insects.
Edric promptly crawled into the basket and flicked his tongue toward the tart.
This is wonderful, he announced, settling down to devour the rest.
I followed him, too excited to eat.
Isn't this great, Edric? I said as Grisina lifted the basket. We'll find the otter, get the bracelet, and I'll kiss you. We can be back in time for lunch. Dinner at the latest.
I'd be less worried if I were doing it as a human, grumbled Edric.
Grisina carried the basket down the stairs and through the great hall. The dogs were awake, begging for scraps and getting under the servants' feet. Bowser took one look at my aunt and scurried under the table. But three other dogs came to investigate the basket, nudging it with their noses and whining to see inside. The wonderful smells of fruit tart and frog were more than they could resist. Grisina shooed them away, but they were persistent and followed her to the door. I crouched in the bottom of the basket with my eyes tightly shut, as if that would protect me from the dogs. Edric was so engrossed in eating his fruit tart that he never noticed anything. Once through the garden, I gave Grisina directions to the pond where I had met Edric. While Edric finished off the tart, I peered over the edge of the basket and watched the world go by. Little had changed since I last saw the pond. A wood duck had left its webbed footprints in the mud. A queen bee had started a new hive in the old hollow tree at the edge of the pond. Nothing looked as big and scary from up high. I began to feel as though I could handle anything.
"Now, where did this kiss take place?" Grisina asked. We need to be fairly precise, so try to remember.
I pointed to a bare spot by the edge of the pond where nothing seemed to grow.
Right over there.
Are you sure? Said Edric, leaning over the side of the basket for a better look.
Of course I'm sure. It was my first kiss. I remember everything about it, at least until things went fuzzy.
Fine,
said Grisina, catching Edric as he started to tumble out of the basket, overbalanced by the vial he still wore. "Then you two sit right here, and we'll see if we can find that otter."
After setting the basket on an old stump, Grisina took something shiny and black out of the pouch attached to her gown. Light glinted off its sharp angles and flat surfaces, the same way it did off one of my father's highly polished swords. "Where did you get that?" I asked. I had never seen it before, and I thought I was familiar with most of the tools my aunt used for her magic.
"While I was on that trip last week, I did a small favor for a dragon. He gave me one of his scales to show his appreciation. Dragons are known for having an unerring sense of direction, so I thought this might come in handy. Now, watch this."
Holding the scale at arm's length, Grisina stepped to the spot I'd shown her and said,
"A golden bracelet rich with charms fell to this soggy ground. An otter chanced upon it here and took what he had found.
The rightful owner wants it back. She seeks the otter so she can retrieve that which is hers. Please tell her where to go."
Although the scale remained black as coal, colored lights began to shoot through it, red and blue, blue, then red.
"Here,"
said Grisina, walking over to set the scale in the basket, propping it against the side so I could see my reflection in its shiny surface. "As the bracelet's rightful owner, place your hand on the scale and determine which direction we must go."
My stomach flip-flopped when Grisina picked up the basket, and I grabbed the sides to keep my balance. I waited until my footing was secure before reaching for the scale. Black as the deepest night, it was as thick as my father's thumb and as wide across as the palm of his hand. The edge was serrated but for one smooth section, and I was glad I didn't have to pick it up. With the surface so slick and the edges so sharp, I was sure I would have either cut myself or dropped it.
"Now, what do I do?" I asked Grisina, looking up at her.
"Just wait," she said. "Patience is a virtue, and often vital when doing magic. The scale is seeking the otter for you. It will tell you the direction in a moment."
"You mean it's going to talk to us?" Edric asked, pressing his eardrum against the center of the scale.
"No," Grisina laughed. "Watch the color. Red means hot, and you're going in the right direction. Blue stands for cold and will appear if you take any direction but the right one. Look, it's working."
The red lights were gone, leaving only blue to shoot about inside the scale.
"It's cold, Aunt Grisina. This is the wrong direction. Turn around and we'll see what it does."
"Hot, cold. It sounds like a child's game," grumbled Edric. "I thought the scale would tell us more than that."
Grisina smiled and shook her head.
"I said it was a small favor. Besides, this will be sufficient. Now, Emma, how about this?"
My aunt began to turn in a circle, but the lights were still blue. It wasn't until she had turned 3/4 of the way around that they began to flash red.
"Now, Aunt Grisina, we have to go that way."
"Very well.
Then we'll be off."
Gathering her skirts with one hand while holding the basket with the other, she started walking.
"Are you going to take us all the way to the otter?" asked Edric, struggling to stay on his feet as the basket jiggled and bounced. "Because that's very kind if you are."
"I'm not trying to be kind. I'm just not about to let my niece go traipsing off into the swamp without me again. Not after what happened last time. Emma, keep your eye on the scale and tell me if I need to change direction."
"You're doing fine, Aunt Grisina. Oh, no, wait, you've lost it. That's it, a little to the left." I never have been a good judge of distance, but it soon became apparent that the otter wasn't to be found close by. Grisina and I worked as a team, turning this way and that as the lights changed from red to blue. Sometimes the scale took us to an unpassable point, and we had to turn around and find another way. Quagmires, ponds, even an apparently bottomless pit made it impossible to go straight.
it didn't help that Grisina turned around and backtracked each time we encountered flowers, looking worried until we'd circumvented the plants by a large margin. Having crossed swampy terrain myself, I knew how exhausting it could be, but Grisina never complained, remaining cheerful even when the mud tried to suck her shoes off her feet, branches whipped her cheek, or she had to retrace her steps yet again. It wasn't until I announced that my head ached from staring at the flickering lights that she suggested we stop to rest. I was grateful on my own account and pleased that I'd found an excuse to make her rest as well. With nowhere to sit but the sodden ground, Grisina gestured at a small hummock and whispered softly. The ground rumbled and a large stone rose out of the mound, rotating to present a flat surface. Another word from Grisina, and a puff of wind scoured the rock free of soil and insects. Sighing with pleasure, my aunt settled herself on the rock and set the basket on her lap. "Can I ask a question?" asked Edric. Grisina smiled. "Yes, Edric, of course, although I'm not sure that I can answer it. That spell that you said earlier, the one about finding the bracelet, did you make that up as you went along, or did you think of it ahead of time?"
"I made it up as I said it. That's how I do most of my spells."
"You're very good. I could never come up with something like that on the spur of the moment."
"It takes practice, that's all." "Do all spells have to rhyme?" I asked.
"No. It depends on the witch, really. Rhyming works better for some, prose for others. Whatever she's comfortable with. I happen to prefer rhyming, but then I've always loved poems that rhyme. Heywood used to write the most beautiful poems for me."
"But coming up with the right words comes with time and practice. It's best if novices use established spells, ones that are known to work."
"Hmm," I said.
I had a lot to think about. My success with magic in Vonnebee's cottage had made me look at the art in a different light. Sure, I had messed up every other time I'd tried it, but then I hadn't really believed that I could do it. But now that I knew that I could, and that I had the flair, I had an idea, vague at first, but the more I thought about it, the more I thought it would work. And that was another thing. I appreciated Grisina's help, and I knew that it made finding the otter easier and faster. But I wanted to see what I could do.
"Aunt Grisina, I want to get the bracelet back myself," I blurted out, certain that if I didn't say it now, I might lose my nerve. "When we find the otter, I want to be the one to talk to him."
"Emma," said Edric, "are you crazy?"
Grisina frowned.
"But why? I'll be there. The otter won't hurt me, but it's too dangerous for a frog.
I've come up with a plan. I want to try some magic of my own. You said yourself that I have the flair, a natural talent for magic. If I really do have the gift..."
Edric sputtered, trying to get the words out. It's out of the question. I told you that otters eat frogs."
"But he won't see me as just a frog. I know what to do."
"Tell me about this plan of yours," said Grisina, looking as serious as I'd ever seen her.
"It's simple, really. I'll dress as the swamp fairy and tell the otter that the bracelet is mine and that he has to give it back. There isn't a real swamp fairy, is there, Aunt Grisina?"
"None that I know of, but I don't keep up with all the fairies in the area."
Edric shook his head.
"You're a frog, Emma. How do you think you can pass yourself off as a fairy?"
"That wouldn't be a problem," said Grisina. "Fairies are magical beings by their very nature, and can easily take the form of an animal if they choose. I've met fairies who look like cats, so why not a frog?"
"What made you think of a swamp fairy anyway?" Edric asked.
"The otter isn't going to hand anything over to a frog, is he?" I said. "But I bet he would to a fairy. Everyone knows that fairies can be nasty if they're crossed."
Edric snorted.
"And what are you going to do if the otter doesn't laugh himself to death?"
"Use a little magic to convince him that I'm serious. I already have a few spells in mind."
"This may not be the best time to bring it up," said Grisina, "but you haven't had such wonderful results with some of your magic." "This won't be the same at all. I remember some of the spells from Madine's books. I'll use one of those, more than one if I have to."
"That's your plan," said Edric.
"It'll never work. It's too simple."
Grisina shook her head. "I don't agree with you, Edric. Sometimes the simplest plans are the best. Things get too complicated, and there are too many things that could go wrong. But, Emma, I can't agree with this idea of yours either. It's just too dangerous. You're too inexperienced. Why, you haven't even been practicing magic the way you should have."
"I know, and I'm sorry about that, but I'm sure I can do this."
"Maybe so," said Grisina, "but this isn't the time to try out your magic. Even if you were proficient, the otter could be too fast for you."
"No, I'll have to handle this."
My aunt isn't the easiest person to argue with. Once she makes up her mind, she refuses to listen to other people's opinions. I was going to try anyway until I noticed a faraway look in her eyes, and I knew that she was already thinking about what she was going to do.